greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Welcome to January 2011. We are well into the second decade of this century. Now, does time go fast or what? And the older you get, the faster it goes. You know, relativity and all? The older you get, the faster time goes. And the fact that we're now well into our second decade of this century, people live their lives for today. And that is so foolish because today very quickly becomes yesterday, last year, last decade, a century ago, and you're now in the afterlife. Do you remember being in high school? If you're a bit older, do you remember being in high school? I remember being in high school like it was yesterday. And I turned around once, and I have grandkids. Next time I turn around, I'm going to be in the grave somewhere. So whatever you do, if you see me, don't let me turn around. Time goes fast, and it is so wise to live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ and for that which is eternal instead of that which is temporal and the things that rust and moths can corrupt. What's the sense of that? So time is going fast, and the world is headed to hell in a handbasket, and things are becoming increasingly wicked. I was talking to a Jefferson County public school official, not an official, an employee, and I would never say her name. It was a private conversation, but we were talking about, I said, how much more dangerous the world is, society is, for our children than when we were kids. And she said that old line that they've been using for 50 years. She said, oh, no, we just talk about it more now. We just know about it more. And I said, no, that's not true. I mean, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. What do you think? We didn't talk about things in the 60s or 70s. There were no evening newscast, no newspapers. We didn't know. Of course we knew. And so they've been saying that for 50 years. Things are getting worse, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who makes us more than conquerors. So in a moment, I want to talk about Barack Obama and George W. Bush and their use of Christianity in their public personas. But first, this point that our lives pass so quickly and we have to be so foolish to prioritize anything above honoring our Creator God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what do we prioritize above Him in our relationship with Him and then with those around us, those we love and our neighbors? So Time passes quickly, and at our home, we here in Colorado, Bob Enyart Live airs out of Colorado, and you might be listening right now over the internet anywhere in the world or in the U.S. or in our archives to a recorded version of the show, but we're here in Colorado, and Colorado has been the heart of the resurgent personhood movement, and so at our house, we've been praying that God would give us the courage, the wisdom, and the strength to get ready for the next personhood petition drive to get on the ballot for 2012, because the media reported that we lost by a 3-1 margin in 2008, and that was true. And now that the Secretary of State has the official results for the 2010 election, we have narrowed that to a loss by a 2-1 margin, not a 3-1 margin. So we went from losing by a 3-1 margin to now by a 2-1 margin. And so, Lord willing, we will be able to continue a full court press. And how do we do it? I'm getting older. I'm in the second half of whatever century I might get in my life. My birthday's coming up. Wow, it's a week from today, my birthday. January 10th, and my wife asked me yesterday, how old will you be? Because she doesn't like thinking about how old she is. And I said, honey, I think I'm going to be 52. I think. But we have to do the math. And so we need the courage from God and the strength, the commitment, the love of our neighbor, the love of our Creator, to be able to continue to press on to battle to end the killing of innocent children. Now, if we were Christians living in Germany and we went to a typical church in Germany, we would not bother ourselves with the public policy that turned against Jews and eventually the systematic slaughter of Jews. We wouldn't worry about that because all we need to worry about is that we love one another. And the fact that our neighbors are killing Jews doesn't come on our radar. That is all we're to do is love them. And maybe someday they'll love us back. Or maybe they'll love God as long as we don't look in any judgmental way at them for killing Jews. And if we were attending a church, a typical church, Protestant Catholic church in America a couple hundred years ago, our church wouldn't be dedicated to ending slavery, to freeing blacks from the enormous wickedness that was committed against millions of blacks by Americans and others around the world. Our church would have more important things in mind, like potlucks and Sunday school classes and a ministry to alcoholics and to married couples who don't get along well. But as far as loving your black neighbor enough to try to bring justice for him and his wife and his children and their community, no, that's not what God calls us to do. God calls us to do a really good job at taking the weekly collection, maximizing the money put in the collection plate. That's one of the greatest obligations we have as ministers, and to teach people, make sure you tithe. Oh, yeah, and by the way, don't use all the verses in the Bible that tell you when you don't have to tithe or when you could spend the tithe money yourself. Don't mention any of those ever. Just be experts on teaching tithing. And so you might attend a typical church in America or in Colorado where maybe somehow, somewhere, if you look really deep inside the church, maybe if there's a trap door somewhere hidden, you'll find somebody down in a dungeon somewhere who cares about children being ripped apart by Planned Parenthood. So maybe deep down the church really cares somewhere, somebody in the church, but maybe as far as you can tell, the church is really apathetic because it doesn't say or do anything about child killing. And so please, if you could, please commit yourself with me here at Bob and Yurt Live and our church, Denver Bible Church. Hopefully we'll wake up some of the Christian ministries who care enough this year to join the battle in earnest and look for the end of child killing in our lifetimes. And by the way, all the efforts to defeat Obama and all this, and let's vote back Obamacare piece by piece, that's all fine. But those are all so transient, so temporal and superficial. How many Republicans have we put in office? How many Republican judges have we nominated and confirmed? How many Republicans have voted on legislation, introduced legislation 10,000 times over in the last 50 years, and the country has been steadily heading toward hell? Personhood is the substantive change. The personhood is the battle. That is the battle. The killing of innocent children. If we cannot compel our nation to stop ripping apart babies' bodies, ripping their arms and legs off, then what makes you think we're going to make an impact on all these other areas that we're concerned about? If you can't get them to stop the killing of innocent children. There's been talk about the government taxing churches and the government looking into how could we tax churches here, how could we, maybe we could put property taxes on them, do this and that. And at Bob and Yurt Live, now that's just news in the last week, at Bob and Yurt Live, as the topic has come up over the many years, 20 years we've been on the air, we've always said the same thing. By giving churches a tax exemption, the government has been able to threaten them and manipulate them with the threat of them losing a tax exemption, and it's not worth it. And it's much better for churches, for nonprofits to function like any other organization and just render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. And so if that ever happened, I don't think it will happen, because liberals love the fact that the church is under a gag rule. Liberals are hypocrites. They say they believe in free speech, tolerance, and diversity. But believe me, if you're a conservative Christian, it's not tolerating you that they're interested in. It's not your free speech. It's not the kind of diversity that would bring your voice and your influence into public policy. Believe me, the beautiful people are only beautiful when they look at themselves in the mirror. So if that were ever to happen, if churches would lose their tax exemption and just become like any other organization of human beings, and they render unto God that which is God's and unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, I think we take a major stumbling stone away from our Christian leaders acting like leaders, acting like Christians. But money is quite a lure, the lure of money, filthy lucre. Money is not inherently immoral. In fact, we've been having a rousing discussion about money since the show we did last week on what is money, and all the comments in the thread in the Bob and Yurt Live forum over at Theology Online. If you've never gone to theologyonline.com, you might want to. If you go to our website, kgov.com, go to any show that interests you or the current show, and just click on comment on this at Theology Online, and you'll be over there, and you'll see that is one of the world's leading theology forums, and it was founded, it was launched by Denver Bible Church, the elders at Denver Bible Church a decade ago, and it now has about 1.6 million posts. Not visits, not hits. Remember they used to talk about hits? Visits are much more reasonable measurement, but now we can talk about posts, where people actually compose something and put it on the site. And we're at about 1.6 million posts, and that's after the boards were erased. They were wiped clean about 5 years ago. There were a million posts then. So we've had about a million, over a million back then. So we've had 2.5 million posts since Theology Online was launched. And the conversation is really lively about what is money over at Theology Online following our program on that topic last week. By the way, our phone number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. There's a news story out from the Religion Reporter at America Online, AOL. And David Gibson, he's done this story about Barack Obama trying to reassert that he is Christian. And why would this be? And this Religion Reporter says, well, he's getting ready to run for re-election in 2012. And in the past year, polls have shown, surveys have shown, that as many as 1 in 5 Americans think he's a Muslim. So if, you know, you have Barack Obama on the news saying, well, my Muslim faith, and then who was that that had to correct him? Who was interviewing him? That was George Stephanopoulos. Was that who that was? Just Stop Annoying Us. What's his name? George Stephanopoulos. Was it him? And he had to correct him. Mr. President, you mean your Christian faith? Oh, yeah, I mean my Christian faith. And so Barack Obama has been going out of his way to point out that he's Christian because he has to get ready for the next presidential election. Now, this year in Mississippi, They will be voting on the personhood amendment there. And so please pray for Mississippi's effort. Please consider supporting directly Personhood Mississippi. Please consider supporting American Right to Life. American Right to Life, just go to AmericanRTL.org. Please go to your local March for Life later in January this month. If you're not sure where it is, just go to MarchForLife2011.com. You'll see a comprehensive list of hundreds of local events and gathering sites to take a bus to the national event in D.C. That's at MarchForLife2011.com. By the way, that is sponsored by American Right to Life, so you want to see that. But you might want to support American Right to Life. But so 2011, we have an important election coming up in Mississippi that we need to pray for and support and make sure our Christian friends, pro-lifers, are aware of what's happening there in Mississippi. But then Obama's looking forward to 2012, and so he has to deal with this, that so many people are thinking he's a Muslim. Now, I've never said that on this show, because for 20 years, he's attended a church that ostensibly is Christian. I mean, the pastor, remember the Right Reverend Wrong, the pastor of Obama's church, and how evil and racist and just a grotesque pastor that man is. But Barack Obama attends that church, attended it, and like Bush, when he's president, he doesn't go to church, just maybe for the cameras now and then, but basically not. And when his daughters were born, he had them baptized as Christians. So Muslims don't do that. A lot of my conservative friends I meet over the internet and all, conspiracy theorists, they think that Obama is a Muslim. Now, his Christianity is pretty insignificant. He is an enemy of Jesus Christ. He advocates slaughtering innocent children, ripping their arms and legs off. The millions of black children, boys and girls, that have been slaughtered by Planned Parenthood, Obama is a defender of all that. He's a defender of godless evolution, godless government schools. He's a socialist. So he's an enemy of Jesus Christ and an enemy of God's principles. But superficially, the way most Christians are Christian, Obama's a Christian. Muslims don't have their children baptized as Christian in a Christian church. At least the Muslims I know don't do that. So maybe 20 years ago, Obama thought, I want to be president, so I'm going to attend this Christian church. That could be, of course. Maybe just because his wife, he met a woman, he thought she's pretty, I want to marry her, and she's Christian, and there's prettier women at the Christian churches than the Muslim mosques or whatever, I don't know. Whatever he thought, I don't know. Maybe it was back during the Iraq War and all the incoming scuds and all, and he thought, I better be a Christian. And so for whatever superficial, fraudulent reason, he's Christian. He is a Christian, not Muslim. I'm not a true Christian. Jesus warned the world of his followers. He said, many will come in my name saying I am the Christ and will deceive many. And that Barack Obama fits that. So does George W. Bush, by the way. But Obama fits that. For example, in this article here at America Online, during the holidays, the president seemed to take every opportunity to put Christ back into Christmas. During the lighting of the national Christmas tree, they didn't call it a holiday tree like they do on some local news stations here in Denver. The national Christmas tree, Barack Obama repeatedly referred to the birth of Christ and pointedly said that the nativity is a story that is dear to Michelle and me as Christians. That's what he said. And then there was a Christian concert a few days later, and Obama spoke of how, quote, a child born in a stable brought our world a redeeming gift of peace and salvation, unquote. Now, he doesn't mean any of that, but that's what he said. And he called it, quote, a message that guides my Christian faith, unquote. Now, that is way more than George W. Bush ever said after 8 years in office. Way more. Obama's been in office 2 years. He has said way more about Jesus and Christianity and being a Christian than Bush ever said. The only time Bush was so openly positive about religion is when he was speaking about Islam. Remember that great world religion of peace and Muhammad and Ramadan and the Quran? That's when he was just bubbling over with kind words, but not about Jesus Christ. In fact, you know that activist Christian gal from California, Star Parker, she was going to speak at the Republican National Convention in prime time, and she was telling how her life was turned around by Jesus Christ and George Bush. And Bush was the guy running the whole show. It was his convention. They edited her speech, and she could only mention people of faith. She couldn't mention God. She certainly couldn't mention Jesus Christ. No, that was for Bush's reelection, if I recall. And so here's Barack Obama talking about his Christian faith and the gospel, the baby Jesus, and the whole bit. And it guides my Christian faith. It brought the world salvation. Wow, the world doesn't look saved. But God the Son became flesh to save those who would trust in him. And between then and the end, the world will be filled with rebellion. And ultimately, the Lord will return not as a baby again, but as a judge with a sword to punish those who hurt the innocent, those who hurt his own. So it's going to be interesting. By the way, George W. Bush, I did an interview with a noted author, Paul Kengor, some years ago. You could still get it online at kgov.com. Paul Kengor wrote the bestseller, God and Ronald Reagan. And then years later, he wrote the bestseller. He's a professor at some state college somewhere, if I recall, in the Middle East. Paul Kengor then wrote God and George W. Bush. And he's a very well-received author. And I asked him, I said, Paul, can I describe to you the conversion story of George Bush as I understand it? And you tell me and my audience if this is correct, because I've stated this on the air in the past, and if it's wrong, I'd like to be corrected. He said, sure, go ahead. So I explained how his father was running for president and doing a terrible time reaching the evangelical Christians in America during his campaign. In fact, he met with some of them, whoever it was, Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwell, whoever, and he was asked, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And George Bush Sr., his answer was, well, I think so. I think I'm a good person. And so everybody freaked out. It's like, wrong answer. Oh, boy, there's a crisis in the Bush presidential campaign. And so they asked Billy Graham to come to their Kennebunkport, Maine complex on the beach there, and to talk with the Bush family about how to talk to evangelicals. And they actually hired, or they got an evangelical expert to train George W. Bush on how to talk to Christians. And that guy recorded some of his conversations with George W. Bush and later made them public. And some of the transcripts ran in the New York Times. I remember this stuff. I'm sure you do, too. And the story goes that George W. Bush was asked to be the liaison to the evangelical community by his father to get his father elected. And that's the weekend when he became a Christian, with Billy Graham flying to Kennebunkport to help the Bush family figure out how to get elected. So Bush becomes a Christian so he can help his father get Christian votes. And I explain that story, although in a lot more detail. If you want to hear more detail, Just go to kgov.com and use the search field and search for God and George W. Bush, and you'll find the show, 2004, if I recall. And Paul Kengor said, yeah, that's the conversion story of George W. Bush. That's true. That's how he became a Christian. And so hearing him praise Ramadan, a ding dong, and every religion in the world except for Jesus Christ, it was not surprising. So now we have Barack Obama continuing the Bush policy with the latest embryonic stem cell research. Have you seen this in the news today, January 3rd, 2011? That the government has approved a new embryonic stem cell research project where they take babies, unborn children that have been killed, and they use their body parts. They use their body parts for research. And this is not unlike what the Germans did when they killed the Jews and they used their body parts for research and other purposes, commercial purposes. Planned Parenthood does this all the time. There's a harvester at every major Planned Parenthood, and they take the organs, they separate the baby, and Planned Parenthood gets paid a lot of money for every baby. A baby's sucking his thumb, playing with his toes, sleeping, dreaming. Mom goes to Planned Parenthood, pays them $600, $700 to kill her baby. They rip the baby's arms off his body, literally. And then a harvester goes through and dissects the baby, and Planned Parenthood gets paid. And we've got the price list. This has all been discussed in Congress and here in the Colorado legislature. Joe Scott and other pro-lifers have testified with the price list. Here's what's going on. And so Republicans are saying, well, look what Obama's doing. Look how bad what Obama's doing. He's agreeing that embryonic stem cell research can be conducted in America. That's what George W. Bush did. George W. Bush became the first president to not only allow embryonic stem cell research to continue, to not only not ban it, but to fund it. He funded it. And if you ever heard differently, you were lied to. Hey, we're out of time. God bless.